Amen. Thank you, worship team. Hey, good morning, everybody. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. A little bit of a switch up. If you were expecting Exodus, we're kind of taking a pause on our journey through the book of Exodus to switch it up, and we're going to be looking at Jesus' words, his famous Sermon on the Mount, because we've got VBS this week. Oh, we got to do better than that. We've got VBS this week. All right. We don't have the confetti cannons like we did last year or maybe the years before to get hype about it. But nevertheless, VBS is this week. The entire staff, so many of you guys, our hearts and minds are aimed at this coming week for VBS. And that was the case for me too this week. My heart just turned away from Exodus and on to VBS this week. And as I was going through that, I just began to kind of wrestle with really just the idea that VBS is such an incredible building project. It's such an incredible building project. And I think for us this morning, as we look at VBS as a church, we can use that sort of to call to focus how we're building the kingdom of God. That we're all involved in some sort of kingdom building project. And VBS is an incredible building project. This week as a church, we'll spend collectively thousands of hours, thousands of dollars, thousands of snacks and crafts and you name it to build up nearly 100 kids. And I think as we look at this, as we prepare our hearts, our minds for it, whether you're participating in VBS or not, there's something that you're a part of building in the kingdom of God. And so that's what I want to turn our attention to this morning. Let's pray. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. I'll pray for us, and then we'll dive in. God, help us this morning. Help us to turn our hearts, our minds to you and the plans that you have. God, show us where we're building things. Show us where we're making an impact, and God, turn us back to you, that we would seek you in doing that. And help us understand your word this morning, as you've promised to do, to illuminate your teaching. And God, so we wait expecting you to do that, to show us your word this morning, to make it clear to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Way before I was in full-time ministry, I built websites. There was a good period of my life where that's what I was doing day-to-day, was building websites. And building websites, at least at the time, was very complicated. One of the greatest challenges in building a website was trying to bring about the vision of our client. Our clients would always have these incredible visions, and it was our job to sort of bring that to bear, to bring that about. And it was very difficult to do that. And over the years, we tried all sorts of things to make that happen. We would have them fill out questionnaires to that end. We would ask them questions like, if your business was an animal, what kind of animal would it be, right? That's super important before you build a website. Trust me, it is. What colors will evoke the right emotion to get them to stay longer and read your gripping about page, right? These were the kinds of things that we would ask them. We would interview their staff even to get a better understanding of culture. And of course, we would invoice them for all of this, right? But what we were trying to do was to try to take their vision, what their desire, what their hopes were for their website, and sort of bring it to bear, bring it to fruition. And no matter what we tried, for the longest time, projects just took forever. What would normally take 13 to 10 hours, we would end up spending months doing. It was exhausting. It was expensive. It would require way too many revisions until we decided to do something differently. We reoriented our whole service, and we operated this website building service as a workshop. We completely switched it up. Instead of corresponding via email and phone calls, we would show up at the client's office. We would sit with them in their conference room, in their workplace, and build their website with them. we would get a clear understanding directly of what their desires were, faster feedback. We could understand exactly what kind of animal their business was without having to ask them. And what they wanted came to fruition much faster, with far less headache. And I share that simply because God has a design. God has an incredible vision, a vision that even Scripture just, it limits how beautiful, how magnificent, how ultimate His vision is. Jesus puts it into words. He says, it's heaven. That God's vision, what Scripture calls God's will in heaven, is supposed to be brought down to earth. We have this opportunity that God has designed in heaven, and He's brought us to build on earth. Scripture calls this His will. When Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's asked us to pray for heaven to be brought to earth. He's asked us to pray for His design, His vision, to be brought down and come to bear, to have us anticipate it, receive it, bring it about, and not go off building something on our own. And so that's the idea this morning, as we turn our hearts to VBS that we will be building this week, as we turn our hearts to whatever it is that you're building, you need to first know that you are a builder. Just declare, "I am a builder." And this means that there is a plan in heaven that God has put for you to build on this earth. There's a plan in heaven for your marriage, for you to build out on earth. There's a plan in heaven for your career, your department, your family, your ministry, for you to build out on earth. There's a plan in heaven for VBS this week, for us to build out on this earth. God's invited you to be a builder, to bring the plans of heaven to earth. Most of us may not realize that we're builders. It's part of the struggle. It's part of the challenge that we don't even realize that we're building. See, it works the same way as faith and discipleship. It's really for us not a matter of what we believe. We all believe something. Everybody has faith in something, so we all have faith. It's just a matter of what you have faith in. We're all being formed into something. We're all disciples of someone. It's just a matter of who's discipling you, who's forming you. And the same way, you are a builder. There, you are building something, whether you recognize it or not. You have an impact. You have leadership. You have influence. You are bringing something to bear. Whether you recognize it or not, you're a builder. You're building something. You're building as you raise your kids. You're building as you work out your career. You're building in the church as we do our ministries, as we serve. We're building something. It's here we see in Scripture that God calls us to be conscious of that, that there's a way that He gives us to build, to bring about His vision. Sometimes it's not just that we don't know that we're building, it's that we doubt what we're building. We doubt what we're building. So often, if we don't know what it is that we're building is part of God's will, if we're not connected to Him, then all sorts of self-doubt creeps in about what we're building. We get questioned, right? And instantly, we just sort of have this self-doubt. What started as a solid foundation of us knowing, yeah, I'm building this thing, I'm investing deeply in this thing, and then all of a sudden, we just get on shaky ground, and we're like, well, what am I even doing anymore? If you're insecure about what you're building, if you're experiencing doubt about what you're building, I want to encourage you this morning. That lack of confidence is coming from somewhere. It's probably coming from a doubt where you haven't gone back to God. and asked him what his will, what is his vision, his plans. And so we can often doubt what we're even building. This lack of confidence in our building plans that they match heaven leads us to just being aimless. And so we turn from the vision of heaven to just the vision of comparing ourselves to someone, the vision of competition or other things. And we don't build God's vision for what his plan for this earth is. It's not just that we doubt or that we don't know, but sometimes we're even deceived while we're building. We can build something, as we'll find out in Scripture, that we think is awesome, and we have no idea that it's wrong. And this is a danger of being a builder. Just the fact that we are builders is that we move forward, and oftentimes we can be deceived moving forward without God. And so I want Jesus' words this morning to call us out of these things, to call us out of doubt, to call us out of not knowing that we're builders, but rather to see his plan, see his vision, and build according to his path, his way. So we're going to look at the scripture this morning. We're going to be in Matthew 6 and 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at some selected passages from the Sermon on the Mount. Before we dive into the Sermon on the Mount, it's important to know that who Jesus was teaching and what Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was teaching the disciples primarily, not the crowds. Jesus has crowds gathered, but his primary aim, his target for teaching, was the disciples. The crowds gathered around rather curiously. They were just seeing Jesus as a rabbi teaching his disciples, wondering, what is his teaching like? Would he be somebody we could follow? Should I join him as a disciple? I actually learned this from Zach this week in the youth group. It was we played Sermon on the Mount Jeopardy with the youth. That was background info for 300. So now you can know that. But it's important. Jesus was teaching those that would go on to build his kingdom. You see that? He was gathering his disciples around, saying, let me show you how to build the kingdom, to build the church. He arms them with practical applications that teach them to build a kingdom with integrity. And what was he teaching them? The central point of the Sermon on the Mount is found at the very center of the sermon. The very center of the sermon is the Lord's Prayer, and the very center of the Lord's Prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. That was background info for 500. The idea being that as Jesus is teaching his disciples, those that would go on to build the kingdom, what he's telling them is this, that I'm going to show you how to build. I'm going to show you how to do this, that there is a way to take God's vision for this earth and bring it to bear. It's different than your way. It's different than your instincts, but it can be done by following the wisdom and the words that Jesus spells out. And when it comes to our hopes, our motivation, our aim for anything we're chasing, anything we're building, there is not a better blueprint than that. There's not a better blueprint than what Jesus says that it, on earth as it is in heaven. There's not a better formula for what it is we're to build. And Jesus spends much of this sermon laying it out for us, correcting our instincts, our default agenda, the way that we would normally build. He's teaching his disciples how to build his kingdom, and we're going to allow Jesus to do the same thing for us. We're going to allow Jesus' words to teach us how we will build his kingdom. No matter what you're building, it's important to see how Jesus instructs us to build it. Let's start with Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Read along with me as I read aloud. This is Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is pointing out those who were going to the temple and announcing their arrival and making a big spectacle about their generosity to the poor. I mean, could you imagine if somebody walked in here and just blew a trumpet? And we were all like, whoa. And they're like, watch as I give, you know. And they just made a big spectacle. God, this is what Jesus is calling out. But it was rather normal practice. I mean, this was to be expected. This is what the disciples who were gathered around Jesus would have understood as peak righteousness. And this is what Jesus is countering. He's saying, don't be like these people who come in and make a big show. The people that you might think are the ones who are doing it the most right, the most righteously, are actually just wrong. Jesus isn't telling us to stop praying. He's not telling us to stop giving or stop fasting. He points out how to do it righteously. Notice what he says. He says, it's when you pray, when you practice these things, when you pray, not if, when you give, not if. And so Jesus is teaching the disciples how to practice righteousness. And he does so by teaching them where things have gone so wrong with their religion. He was talking to faithful Jewish disciples, and he was liberating them from religion. He was liberating them from religion, inviting them into real righteousness. And what this passage teaches us is that the danger is not in the act. The danger Jesus is pointing out is not in praying, obviously. It's not in giving. It's not in fasting. The danger is not understanding our motive, not understanding our motivation. And religion trains us to perform. At every turn, religion only trains us to perform, and yet what Jesus is pointing out that is that righteousness trains us to relate. There's a big difference when religion trains us to perform and righteousness trains us to relate to the real God. And so as we build the kingdom, make the impact, do the thing, make the effort, we're to build righteousness, not religion. To build righteousness, not religion. Jesus is exposing the motivation. He's saying, look at what they're motivated by. They're motivated by praise, by reward, by getting a good reputation. They blow trumpets not to impress God, but to impress others. This is their motivation. And not only does he point out their motivation, he warns us as followers, as disciples, about how seductive this motivation can be. He goes on to say, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He's pointing out just how seductive this motivation can be, the motivation of praise from others, the motivation of just wanting accolades, good reputation, a big show, what Jesus calls their reward. Jesus doesn't just leave us stuck there. He doesn't just leave us stuck with this seductive motivation. He gives us a key. He gives us a plan to get out of it. He gives us a path to build. And I want us to see that the plan is secrecy. The plan is secrecy. What am I getting at here? He provides an antidote. He provides a cure to what our religious fervor can become. And the emphasis is secrecy. Notice what he keeps saying. He says, do it in secret. Don't make a big show out of it. He gives us the why. He says, so that your giving may be in secret. And notice this, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. John Stott puts it this way, that secrecy is the test of sincerity. That secrecy is the test of sincerity. That what we are willing to do for God alone is the test of true righteousness. That what we are willing to do for God's eyes only is the true test of righteousness. And so what does this mean for us? Well, it means we are to serve so that God sees. We serve so that God sees, and we practice secrecy. Let secrecy force you to find satisfaction in God's satisfaction. You see how that works? What Jesus is saying is you need to find satisfaction in that God is satisfied. If your satisfaction is found in satisfying others, in satisfying your reputation, in satisfying anything else, it's not true righteousness. You've just built religion. Most religious things started off as righteous things. I mean, Jesus names them. He says prayer, giving, fasting. Most religious things started off as righteous things. They started off where we were satisfied because God was satisfied. And then it got twisted. I think it's important for us as we build to go back and take inventory. Ask ourselves, are we building religion or are we satisfied with the true righteousness? Are we satisfied with our effort because we know God is satisfied? Where is our caregiving? Simply just become people pleasing. Where has our service become about performance and position? Where are we missing it, getting twisted and building religion instead of building a true righteousness where we are satisfied because we see that God sees and He's satisfied? This practice of secrecy, it corrects our motivation. It matures our motivation. It cultivates an affection for God's approval. It keeps us building what He wants, His vision, on earth as it is in heaven. This is what cures us. Secrecy is the detox. It's our best protection for building what God wants and not ourselves. It has a way of starving us from what we crave. Notice how Jesus points it out. You can't even let your right hand know from your left hand. And we have to starve this out. We have to starve out the approval of others, praise of others, loyalty or obligation to others. And the way we starve this out is to practice secrecy. Jesus just tells us how to do it. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you do these things, you will cultivate a righteousness. And so our challenge this week is we build the discipleship of these kids. We're to practice this way. Find a way to practice secrecy this week. Find a way to do something for a kid at VBS that is just between you and God. That you know no one's expecting you to do. But you'll be satisfied knowing that God sees. Do something generous. And then practice what Jesus says. Fight the temptation to make it known, to make it a show. Be anonymous, fighting the instinct to tell others. There'll be plenty of opportunities this week at VBS. There's plenty of opportunities building everything God has put before you. I know for me, for VBS this week, it's going to be the choreography. Right? I am doing that purely for God's satisfaction. Right? For Zach, it's going to be the Australian accent, dude. I had to come at you. Right, just purely for God's satisfaction. It won't impress any of you. Trust me. But there are things that we have to develop. We have to begin to develop what it feels like, this desire to satisfy God. And let that lead us to true righteousness and build true righteousness, not religion. Let's keep reading. These are Jesus' words in Matthew 7. Look at 7 through 11. Chapter 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Jesus is talking about asking. He positions God as a father and us as children who approach him asking with expectation. He belabors the point. He says, ask, knock, seek. I mean, he's emphasizing this expectation that we're to have, to ask God for things, to go to him with the expectation, just simply put, if you ask, you'll be given. If you seek, you'll find. Knock, it will be open to you. In other words, what you expect to happen will happen. The provision that you need will be there. This is what Jesus is emphasizing. He doubles down on the point saying, look, it will be there for you. What you need will be there for you. And he points to the relationship of an evil father. He says, which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? How much more? If you have a bad father, how much more would a good father give who knows what we need? This is what our expectation should be. And yet so often it's not. We're to build with faith, not disbelief. We're to build with faith, not disbelief. Jesus is inviting us to build the things that we're building with faith. By asking with the expectation that God will provide what we need to move forward. And so often we just sit in disbelief. We forget that we have a God with unlimited resources. We forget that we have a good Father who far more would not just give us bread when we ask for it. Would he give us a stone? And so often our disbelief, it just dresses up as realism or maturity. But often it's just a spiritual resignation. It's just a spiritual resignation. It's just being defeated. Instead of asking God to supply what we need, supply the materials for what we're building, we just downsize the project. We downsize the project to fit what we're capable of. And the end result is that we don't build heaven on earth. We just move more earth around. You see, what we can operate as a way where there's no faith. We're just living in quiet disbelief, checked out from any faith, any belief that God can actually provide, that God can make a way, that God's desire is to bring heaven to earth and have us participate in bringing that to bear. And so the key, the plan that Jesus gives us, the way through this disbelief into faith, the key is prayer. The plan is to pray. Jesus has already given them, the disciples, this vision of life in the kingdom, radically different from the world system. And now he addresses how we access those resources. By asking for them. By asking for them. Prayer is not just a bonus. It's not just something we do on the side. It's not something we do when we need extra. It's essential. It's essential for everything that we're building to simply go to God and ask. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm asking for these things. I'm going to reject this quiet disbelief, this low-lying, just stagnant belief that nothing can really happen. And I'm going to believe, and I'm going to ask expectantly. See, we carry our bad beliefs into everything that we build if we're not careful. I was thinking about that with VBS this week. I'm getting an opportunity to teach the Bible stories. And I was just thinking about that, and like, I was getting sort of intimidated by that, because like the general disbelief, the bad belief that you carry into any type of environment where you're teaching kids is that they really won't get it, that they really won't understand, that they really, it's just like sort of this belief that it's impossible to actually make an impact. And as soon as that welled up in me, I was challenged and convicted. I was like, am I asking God to change that? Confronted with that challenge, am I asking for God's provision? Am I asking that despite me, God would actually move in these kids' lives, that real discipleship, real transformation, despite their age, despite my abilities, would really happen? Do I see God as my Father and me as His Son just asking, God, would you just bring that to bear? I know you have plans in heaven for VBS this week. Would you make them happen here on earth? What are we not asking for just because we've just carried in these bad beliefs? We carry in bad beliefs about our kids. Carry in bad beliefs about the work that we do. Our relationships. And quietly live in the status quo instead of just asking God to change it, asking God to bring provision, asking God to bring heaven on earth. Where are you building on your disbelief? Where have you given up? Where have you stopped asking? Where have you just accepted disbelief? This practice of prayer moves us out of it. It moves us right out of it. Jesus is saying three different ways expect results. It's three different ways. Jesus is essentially saying prayer works. Three different ways. Jesus is prompting us, saying, have you tried asking me? You've tried so many things. Have you tried asking me for it? Three ways Jesus is saying, expect me to provide what you need to build. Bring it to God. We gathered around as a staff this week, like we normally do each week, but this week we turned our hearts and attention to VBS, and we wrote things down that we're praying for, things that we're asking for, to move out of any sort of disbelief, and to move into faith, to build this VBS week. In faith, we're asking that the kids know that they are cared for by God. We're asking that the kids learn that they are loved deeply by God. We're asking that they are overwhelmed by God's love for them through the attention of adults this week. That is caught more than anything that we teach. We're building with faith, not disbelief. Everything that you build, God's asking you, build with faith. Ask me. Keeps on going in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, let's read his words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name. Do mighty works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Jesus is still talking to the same disciples. With crowds of potential disciples around him, Jesus is talking to builders. He's talking to kingdom builders about the consequences of this terrible confusion on the job site. Jesus tells us that there are these people who are disillusioned about what the actual will of the Father is, have completely misunderstood the direction of on earth as it is in heaven, as the will of God. They're disillusioned and they appeal to their mighty work, Scripture says, as the will of the Father. They go to Jesus saying, well, didn't you see us do X, Y, and Z? Didn't you see us prophesy in your name? Didn't you see us cast out demons, do these mighty works? And Jesus responds saying, I never knew you. The lesson for us as builders, building God's kingdom out, is to build knowing God, not just knowing how. It's a sobering warning Jesus gives. Jesus is saying that there is a shadow side, a dark side to what appears on the outside as obedience. That what appears like effective ministry, impact building, kingdom building ministry, what it looks like on the outside could be absolutely corrupt on the inside. Jesus is pointing out the danger of us finding assurance in our knowledge of building over our knowledge, a genuine relational knowledge of Him. He's pointing out the danger of us leaning or having our assurance based on our experience, our expertise, our effectiveness over a genuine knowledge of Him. So how does Jesus move us out of this? How does He call us out of this? The plan is personal faith. The plan is personal faith. Jesus is describing mighty works here. He's exaggerating, emphasizing the point of the necessity of one vital element. Personal faith. A relationship with God where you know Him. See, this is a sobering verse because the examples Jesus uses are powerful. It's not like the previous verses where He's talking about fasting or praying or things that you can do well in front of others. He's not mentioning things that are easy to counterfeit. It's easy to teach kids to live one way and then go and live a completely different way. I mean, they'll never know, right? It's easy to do. You'd expect Jesus to call that out, and He does. It's easy to learn a flowery prayer language and speak eloquently and pray in front of others, and it mean nothing. For it to just be a performance you've practiced. And Jesus calls that out. But here, it's unsettling because Jesus is calling out things that would seem like there's some power that comes from a personal faith. And what we learn is that God is building a kingdom that has nothing to do with power or performance, that lives outside of knowing Him personally, that lives outside of a personal faith in Christ. See, every ministry, this is why I think Jesus cautions us, why He starts with the disciples He knows will go on to build incredible ministry and build the kingdom in every way imaginable, is that every ministry, everything that we're building develops a sort of an if you know culture. That there are people that are building things that are similar, that you are involved with, and it creates an if you know culture. You've experienced this. I'll give you a few examples, and some of you, you'll know. If you've been involved in Hispanic ministry, that Cuban coffee, if you know, you know. I mean, it's like syrup. Region, those of you who have been through region, if you know, you know. You know what it's about. You know the impact. You know that when you introduce yourself, you say, "Hi, my name is Tyler, and I struggle with control." And then there's a level of vulnerability and freedom in region. And if you just know, you know. Single parents, if you know, you know. Entrepreneurs, if you know, you know. If you work at a desk job, whatever it is that you do, wherever you're building, there's a culture that creates around you that just if you know, you know. A lot of us this week, VBS, we've got our own little subculture of if you know, you know. We're already sold out on it. We already know what to do. Some of you guys have even taken the week off. People have been showing up at the church like taking time off of their jobs, working VBS like it's a different part-time job. If you know, you know. Some of you guys actually wear the VBS t-shirt outside of the week of VBS. That's right, me and Carla. I was asked politely not to wear my Make Waves shirt anymore to the office, but it may have to bring it back. But my point is that every ministry, for good reason, everything that we're building for good reason has a culture that's built around it. It's a culture that's built on expertise. It's a culture that's built on experience. It's a culture that's built on the effort, the camaraderie that's shared. What Jesus is saying is that those are good things. Those are necessary things to build the kingdom, but don't misunderstand that those have to come out of a knowledge of God. That we don't just do ministry because we have a knowledge of how to do ministry. We don't build our families, build our careers because we have a knowledge of how to do them well. We build them because we have a knowledge of who God is. That's where we start. We don't build anything because we know how. We build because we know who God is. We know Him personally. There's a personal faith that is driving all of the work that we do. Jesus gives us a strong warning there to build because you know God personally. That we serve out of a relational devotion to Him, not to serve a person or a program, only a devotion that comes from a personal relationship with God. And for us, the practice is a personal faith. Carry that with you this week. If you're disconnected from that, if you're building something, you're putting your effort, your energy into something, and you feel disconnected from the God who put you there, turn back to Him. Come to VBS day after day praying for it. Come, allow God to work in your heart. Pray before you wake up and spend time with your family, before you make them, get them off running in the day. That everything you're building, your job, that we are to just stay in abiding in Christ, keeping close to Him, building out of a personal relationship with God, not simply because we know how. The last verse I'll share is verses 24 through 27. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Jesus ends his sermon. This sermon where he is the pinnacle message is to bring heaven to earth. To bring God's will for His kingdom, God's will for everything that we build to bear on this earth. He ends this sermon with an incredible contrast of those who take His way forward, who heed His plans, who see Jesus as the architect, against those who build in foolishness. Who build on the sand. He warns of their ultimate destruction. The message is clear for us. We are builders. We are building something. You are building something. When you go home and take a nap this afternoon, you are building something. But Jesus is the architect. He's inviting us to build his vision of heaven on this earth. He gives us a way to do it. He says so clearly, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. That's the hard part. Doesn't just believe them, doesn't just understand them, but who does them, who puts his plan into practice, who prays, who walks by faith, who does practices these things in secrecy. These people, you are building and cultivating something that is built on Christ, his foundation, and you are building his vision of heaven and bringing it to bear on the earth. Let's pray together. God, would you help us to be a church that builds because we know who you are? Not just because we know how to do it, not just because we have the resources to do it. God, that everything that we build this week, God, I pray for VBS, for the kids there, the students, that what you're building would be unbelievable, that it would blow all of our expectations. God, the work that you're doing in our families, the work that you're doing at our jobs. God, we ask for your provision, expecting you to bring it, trusting that you know what's good for us. Make us wise to build on your plans, not our own. We come to God asking these things in Christ's name.